Okay. I didn't know that I was... That's good. Good for my voice. Okay, today's going to be a little bit different day. It's going to be more interactive. So that means I'm going to rely on y'all's, as they say down here, y'all's participation. All right. So now for a little show and tell. All right, now I know this is not your most expensive loaf of bread, but it's going to be for demonstration purposes only. So in other words, I know that some of you are going to say, I don't eat that kind of bread, but play along. But don't throw your bread away, because then the chickens will get it afterward, okay? We'll just put it back in here. So, what I want to do is have a little demonstration of some things that could be powerful, and it could change some paradigms. So what I'm going to be doing is relying on you guys to be able to pair up, whether it's across the table or back and forth, doesn't matter to me. Just find somebody that you can pair up with for this to work. All right, so what I'm going to do here... I don't know, how many spouses do you have? Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah. That's not going to matter too much. However, it's just getting the idea across. All right, now, what I'm going to do is give away some... He's got his own matzah. All right, but still play along with us on this. I'm just going to give away some bread, all right? Here's some bread here. Now, somebody help me. Just give some bread away. Give some bread away so that eventually everybody's got some bread. Just give it away.
Do you want your partner to help both of us?
Yeah, just give it to everybody. All right. So I'm just going to do this. All right. Who needs some bread? Doesn't matter. You can cut it in half, break it in half. Yeah, that's right. You got some already. You got some? Jake, you got some bread? Come on. There you go. All right, you're going to have to pick somebody so that everybody is paired up. Everybody got their bread? Okay. All right, so I gave away some bread. You guys gave away some bread. So I want to have you pair up. Everybody's got your bread. But this time we're going to do something a little different. Got your pairs? Or your partners or wherever? That's fine, just as long as you got somebody. Now, take that bread, one person that's in the pair. Take that bread. Now, instead of giving it away, I want you to share it. Share that piece of bread, and not only share that piece of bread, but share a little something from you as you give the bread away. Okay? Go. Don't worry, we're going to switch. All right? Yeah, you guys can do it. Yeah. When you share the bread, you share a little something that you want to say with the bread. So, you don't have any. We need you. Yeah, you're a partner here.
Oh, I didn't even know.
All right, hon. Okay, she just shared her bread with you. And she said, go ahead and repeat it. Okay. Now, has the other person reciprocated yet?
No.
Go ahead and reciprocate. You're going to share the bread and share a little something from you as you give the bread. It's not just giving it away, it's sharing. Okay. 30 seconds more. Okay. Now, let me rein it in. Anybody, what was the difference between just giving something away versus sharing? What was the difference? Somebody.
You share a part of you, your heart.
It's easy to just give away, and that's fine, but there's something different about sharing, right? All right? Something of yourself went with that gift. Anybody else?
His bread was different. He had a heel.
It changed the whole dynamic of it, huh? What? You're giving me a heel? Does everybody share the same sentiment? All right, so it's noble to give, but there's something about sharing. Sometimes we get all caught up in the giving, and in this culture we don't share a lot. In fact, it works even that way in our homes. We give to our kids, our children, our spouses, but somewhere along the line, we've never been taught or never experienced, or it just gets weeded out somewhere, flushed out. Maybe they want us to give a part of ourselves. Maybe they want us to share things rather than just have things given.
Huh?
They may have a different love language. Yeah, but still, sometimes the sharing can just permeate exactly what you said. So, I have to compare that with, before I compare it, I want everybody to turn to Matthew 28. We're going to take a little bit more time today. We're not going to rush through some of the scriptures that I've usually always been guilty of. Matthew 28. I'm going to read from the ESV. And Jesus came and said to them, 28:18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. I want to ask a few questions from these verses here. All right. Put on your thinking caps. What does all authority mean? All right, everything. But you're emphasizing the all. Put it a little. Put it together with all authority. Over who? Correct. That's a good definition. But when Yeshua was saying, I've been given all authority, is it authority over what? Angels? Name them. Yeah, just pretty much all creation, but you start naming everything, but you know what you usually leave out? Me. All authority over even me. All right, let's look again at this. It says to make disciples of all nations. What is a disciple? I got a lively crowd here.
Follower of Christ.
Well, if you're a disciple of Christ, of Yeshua, then you're okay. Good. Nobody's wrong yet. Disciples, what do they do? What is a disciple? Oh, yes, we see that. Like Elisha was a servant of Elijah before he stepped into the role. Just an example. So, disciples. What does a disciple do while he's a disciple?
Share some good news. Authority.
Excuse me, what?
They're
under the authority of their mentor, right? And their mentor's responsibility is to what?
Teach.
All right?
Correct.
And who did Yeshua give that job to make disciples of all nations? His disciples, right? All right, so he was not teaching them just to teach them. He was teaching them for a job for the kingdom. All right? Now, back in the days of Yeshua, this was a very common practice where especially the firstborns would go and be invited to sit under a mentor. All right? But what's the problem with that system? You become a disciple of a person. What was Yeshua teaching his disciples? Yes, through Yeshua, to follow the Father. Exactly. So he didn't have his own agenda, but he had a very specific agenda to teach disciples to hear from the Father so that they could be replicated in his image, right? Okay. Now, what does the term "I am with you always" mean? Does that need some kind of translation? Is there some kind of secret of what that really means? Or does it mean "I am with you always"?
It does not mean "I am with you always", but
Very true. Very true. And it's, to continue, it says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So that does not mean that Yeshua is taking a vacation somewhere right now. It means we got to get it into our mind. He's with us now. All right. That's good. That's what a disciple is should have at the front of his mind. Hineni. All right. Now, what are we supposed to spread? What are we supposed to go out and spread? Yeah, or the gospel, the good news. How many people know what the good news is? Now, there's people who can tell you gematria. There's people who can tell you Bible code. There's people who are into eschatology. But a lot of times, those same people cannot give you what the gospel is. So what is our first and primary concern to learn? The gospel. Great. So many times we want to jump ahead in our walk and we leave some of the fundamentals behind. But there's a reason for this. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who started proclaiming the gospel first in Scripture? Who is the first one? Well, you could say in the New Testament, in the Scriptures, who was the first one? And, well, we could say Adam, but the only reason why we know anything about Adam is because what Moses wrote. So, we have to say that Moses was our first proclaimer of the gospel, if you want. How do I know this? Well, now look at John 5, 46. Gospel of John 5, verse 46. It says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Isn't the gospel about Yeshua? Isn't it about him? And besides, when the first people started talking about the gospel, like John, the baptizer, Yeshua hadn't even started his ministry yet, and he hadn't even died yet, and he hadn't even rose yet. So do you think there's something a little bit more to the gospel than just that, although that is part of it? Because that was all prophesied. But Moses was the first one. Now, Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said that there was going to be a prophet like him arise among your own people, and from him you're going to be accountable to his word, basically. All right? So right there is another outright prophecy of the Messiah. Now, I'm going to regress a little bit. What does sharing versus giving have to do with discipleship? Well, what I'm going to suggest is teaching is pretty much like giving. But discipleship is more like sharing. And we're going to expound on this a little bit more, but I want this to be kind of the narrative, background narrative, as we go through some of this stuff. All right. Just a little question. It's a survey. How many of you here have had a mentor of any kind, whether it's in a family, whether it's on a job, a mentor of any kind? Okay? Now, how many people have had a mentor in this walk? Not many, but a few. What do I mean by a mentor? Somebody who has taken a certain amount of time to train you, not just with teaching, but also with experience. Remember, maybe I'm going to date myself. There used to be this show called Kung Fu. All right? So some of you know about it. All right, so. Yes, the disciple was the grasshopper. So let's just say there was one episode, and Grasshopper was just looking into a creek or a stream, clear water. So his mentor comes up and says, "Grasshopper, what do you see?" There's a difference between that and somebody giving you a textbook or a reference book that shows you all the different kinds of fish that are in there, or the different types of fauna to identify. And that's not bad. But here's Grasshopper, and he says, "It seems as though the big fish chase the little fish." Lesson all of its own, right there. But why the mentor, he says, "What do you see?" So he's trying to pull something out. And in opening Grasshopper up, then he can start to pour in. It's not like, "Did you do your assignment? Did you answer the questions?" And I'm not making fun of that, because Yeshua did both. He taught the masses, but he discipled a few people. Back to... All right. You notice in Mark, remember in Mark 6 and Luke, we don't have to turn to there, but Yeshua chose 12 to go two by two out. And in Luke, he chose 70 to go out. And he sent them out two by two, didn't he? Did he not? And he gave them instructions on what to do. And what was those instructions? Remember? Remember what? Come on, you can tell me. Huh? Okay. Share the good news. But he also said to... You guys have been hanging out in the Old Testament too? Don't take extra sandals. Don't take a bag. Don't take an extra cloak. Say it louder. Yeah, basically, heal the sick, cast out the demons. So he gave them an assignment, and he sent them out two by two. Okay? Now, one moment. And that very thing is going to play. It sets up the stage, actually, for the night of the deception before Passover. But anyway, getting back here. Now, okay, we're all here. And what if somebody came up and, whether it's me or somebody, says, okay, I need two people. I want two people that I can teach to do whatever. How many would volunteer? Boy. All right. But if that's not okay, you got some volunteers. Buddy, I say, I want two people that can learn what I have to teach them. And then I want to top it all off for the requirements. That's only half of it. The next half is, and then I want you to choose two people. Two people that have influence and that respect you. How many in here fill that requirement? Don't raise your hand. All right. So I want two people to teach so that you can have two people to teach. And then guess what? Those two people, when you gather them, I'm going to help you with those. But then you're going to help the next two people. So it's going to be me, these two. All right, that's the first thing that comes into your mind is multi-level marketing. Where do you think they got their idea? However, everyone here, mom and dad, two people. Now you got you. And if you had siblings, on and on, okay? Everything starts with two. It started with two. This is not multi-level. This is generations. That's if you speak DNA-wise. But are we missing something? Are we supposed to be disciples? Are we supposed to be replicating Yeshua? If you guys, me, and we can include pairs, like husband and wife, as being one. But if you just discipled two people who were serious that they were going to get two people, we wouldn't have the problems that we have right now, would we? So if I said, I want two people that I can disciple, let's just say, starting at the end of Sukkot through Pesach. Let's just say that. So say 6 months. And then after here's 6 months. And then, okay, now it's your turn. And then you take another 6 months or 8 months, whatever. Just think where we'd be in 2 or 3 years. Why aren't we? We're not there. Actually, if you stop to think about it, realistically, we're starting to go backward, aren't we? Whose fault is that? Can we blame? I mean, we can blame the pressures of the world. Yes, they're there. But how much more is it our responsibility to crank up the light? I was hoping somebody would say multi-level. So, it's the power of two. Can you first sit under a mentor? What's that going to take? Now open it up. What's it going to take to successfully sit under a mentor? Discipline, commitment. Willingness to learn.
Patience.
To be willing to be under authority, because there is no authority unless you're under authority. So good. Okay. Anybody else? Work. Whoever said that? Okay. So these are some requirements that it's going to take. And then that person, when you go out for year two, it's the same requirements. It's a rough way to go initially, but it's just a whole different way of transforming yourself than reaching for all these different teachings. We're going to see something here that Paul has to say about that. All right. Now, let me just back up a little bit. What are some of the excuses? Let's just say someone challenged you. Go home, pick up the phone, find two people that's going to agree to do this. You may have to call a bunch before you find two. But what are some excuses for failure on that? All right. Too busy. I like that. What other excuses? Not good with people. Somebody said something else? Too difficult. Why would you say fear of man? Afraid of talking with people. That's a biggie. And what else? Speaking of fears. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. All these fears. Is that supposed to be what we're about? But guess what? We have them. We have them, and more. One of my best friends just got derailed big time because of rejection. We're supposed to be a light, and the light's going to overcome the darkness. But when we hear a no or a rejection, we take it personal. If we are a messenger, what are they rejecting?
Message.
The message. But we take it personal, just like Samuel did. And they're rejecting the Father, not us. Because proof is, I'm going to give an example of somebody we know. They live in an area where there's a lot of beer drinking going on. He doesn't partake in that. They reject him because of that. Now, are they rejecting him or rejecting what he stands for? Well, guess what? You can sure find out if he starts going in and swigging some beer with them, then he's part of the crowd. It's not who he was, it's what he did or stood for. We take things too personal.
Yeshua's disciples weren't perfect, right? Betrayed him, so you know, we have an example there. Even if we try to disciple people, they're not going to be perfect. You know?
So true, Sean. Because not only are the people that we're going to try to disciple not perfect, but we won't know probably some of the headaches that we cause our mentor. And if we don't know those headaches that we cause them, we got a good mentor. Because they won't be blasting us like we probably deserve. All right. Actually, the fear of rejection is... I got married... Well, we got married. I was 27 I was 27 when we got married. You know why it took me so long? Fear of rejection. Actually, it worked out good because I got a good gal by that. The Father used that. But one of the reasons why I wasn't married at 23 was fear of rejection. Getting shot down, right, guys? Tail spin. So, anyway, turn to 1 Corinthians 4. We're going to start in 14. While you're getting there. Okay, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, Paul says, I imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So what's he saying here? Let's go back to our multi-level diagram. This is not, well, yeah, you can call it multi-level. But this is family. This is family. Paul said he regards them as his children. You get two people to help disciple. They're going to be your family. And you're going to be treating them as family. We have a disconnect sometime on treating people as family. So what I'm saying is, what I am learning, teaching is good, but sharing is even better. And what I'm saying too is, I need to fall under a mentor. I need to learn from that person. And I'm not just going to pick anybody. I'm going to pick somebody who's going to, in every case, that he won't supply answers, but he'll teach me how to get my own answers. For example, if there's a crisis in your family, or you know somebody that has a problem, and they confide in you. A lot of times they just want, okay, what's the answer to this? You know what a good mentor would do? Grasshopper. What do you see? Have you gone to the Father about this? You're concerned about what so-and-so says, or your husband, or your wife, or your pastor. There's people that you covet their suggestions, and that's not always a bad thing. But what's a better thing? Better thing is that they can help you weave your way through the thicket of life to get back to where it really counts, who's really got the answers, Yeshua. Isn't that who he taught the disciples to go back to? But even Paul says he imitates Christ. So that's what we should be doing. So Paul nailed it. In that scripture, he's not cutting down one thing about teachers, but he says there's thousands of them, but there's very few fathers or parents, I should say. Could this be a paradigm shift for you guys? Instead of trying to seek out diligently who the best teacher is, and like I said, we're not against teachers, but who does fathering these days? You don't see them because they're not out there with their name on a shingle. They're going to be home or in somebody else's home discipling maybe two people. So it's fathering. It's caring. It's investing in somebody. And it's sharing. A lot of us didn't grow up with caring, sharing fathers. So that's why we need to seek them out, so that we know how to pour into other people's lives. Questions? Comments?
One thing that I really like about what you said is that you kind of were making it small, like one to two people, because I've definitely seen it in my life where people will go out and be a mentor to a lot of people, or it's people and then they ignore like their family, or they miss out on the people that they really should be mentoring, and it can be really dangerous. So I like that, like you focused on the home, of course, first, and the one to two, because people can get off thinking they're doing a good thing.
So much could be said about that, because thinking big doesn't necessarily mean thousands of people. But guess what? If you're successful with these two, and those two are successful, you could be the father of many instead of barren.
Come off of what you're saying, is basically that bottom rung there. There's more experience just in life in general, because of different walks, different situations, different everything on the side. But that last tier there, there's four people. They can mentor in different scenarios, in different situations. And we're talking about families. Now, some people don't have families. They have no clue. They could not advise you on anything about a family. They got an idea, but the reality, when the meat makes them up, they have no idea. But so that's what I'm saying, that last four here, everybody's got different aspects that life is, God has brought into their lives that correlate to what the Word has to say.
That's good, John, because what I think you're saying, and
the mentor.
Yeah, but this person over here might be a construction worker.
Yeah.
This one over here might be a teacher. You know what? Speaking of that, I can remember my second grade teacher. Okay, so we have 30 people in our class. And she was an older gal, and everybody was afraid of her, and they called her Battle Axe. Poor thing. Now, that's not what her name was, but that's what everybody called her. So, The thing of it is in her class, she picked three of us. And let's see, two other girls. No, one other girl and two of us guys. And she poured into us. She taught the whole class, but she poured into us. So, what was good for the rest of the class wasn't good enough. We could not. She expected more out of us. And guess what? She got it. Even though I was a little second grader and more interested in being a class clown, but guess what? She had an instinct that goes beyond what most people are. Back then, they didn't socially advance you. But if you were way ahead of the class, they would advance you, maybe skip a grade. So to skip a grade, you had to go before a board. Not the person, but the names went. So that teacher, only two people were allowed to skip a class. So they went from second grade to fourth grade. I was not that person. But guess what? I was on one of the honorable mentions. See, that's what you learned. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there's going to be people in your lives that you know who you can pour into and who you can't. And I'm going to just mention somebody who does that in our midst. She has a group of women that have been diligent with sowing and blessing the people in Israel. How much blessing? We don't know exactly the joy. All we know about the joy that's on their face, but we don't know exactly. We can't experience it because we're not there when those little girls get their dresses. But people like Court, she has a skill, and it may not be the same kind of skill as... She's not a professional baseball player. She's not a coach. She sews. And she has blessed many people, not just there, but the people that she is mentoring on how to sew. Guess what those girls, I called you girls, when Court moves away or whatever, hopefully what the skills that these ladies learn, I know Court is hoping that it will be passed down to somebody else. That's an example. You don't have to have some big fancy title, because a lot of times that's not going to work. Father works in such ways that is amazing, in small ways, even behind the scenes. So please don't think you have to be something or somebody to make this thing work. You don't. Very good, what you guys brought up. Anything else that anybody can say? I haven't heard much from the ladies because they have a different slant on this parenting.
Wife, I would think maybe not to do both of them together, because
it's probably not going to happen. You're going to be a team. It'll be a husband and a wife. You want them. You want them equally yoked.
So you have to be your above them.
You would see that. You would see them as one. Okay. Of course it can. There's no...
that single people without families don't know anything about families. And I don't think I'm 100%...
Yeshua was single.
Yeah. It kind of...
You don't have DNA running around.
Right. It doesn't necessarily, that doesn't limit God from giving me wisdom to share with me.
Especially all your training and all your experience. One of the things as a therapist, I've dealt with a lot of older people, and one thing that breaks their heart is... they have no one interested in passing along their experience or their skills to. They're put out to pasture. They're put in a corner. They have so much to offer. But what they say is, nobody wants to know anything about what I did. It's a skill or an experience that's going to go 6 foot under. Another skill and another experience that goes to the grave, to the cemetery. So, anyway, as far as answering your question, what we have right now is people from all over the map. We don't have, like, here was Yeshua, and then he miraculously had 12 people, not two. But everything came down from him. Problem, what we have is we got people that are going to be coming from over here and over here. So what we got to do is whoever the mentor is, lead them right back to number uno, Yeshua. You cannot, this is what happens a lot of times. People want to be parents, but then what they do is the people that they're mentoring relies on the parent for everything. The parent has all the answers. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be, no matter where you're at in here, maturing, being perfect, mature, so that we can start to eventually hear from Yeshua or the Father. That's what it's all about. That's why you got people with this experience Some people are living in a different experience setting. It's not hard, really.
Oh. I just want to mention that, you know, having raised my two children, raising my grandbaby, I remember last year Cody was crying all the time when I put him down, and I was like, I don't know what else to do. This woman of God came up to me because I was sharing with her, and she said, you know what this little guy needs? He needs a little stuffed animal to snuggle. He needs something that he can take with him and he can embrace so he doesn't feel like he's alone in his crib. And I was like, you're kidding me. That little Mr. Tiger is still to this very day in this crib bed because of Elise, and he stopped crying the minute I got him that stuffed animal, and he embraced it immediately, hugged it. And I was like, here's I'm a mother. How come I didn't know this? It took somebody that has never been a mother, that had the wisdom of the Father to give me that life, to finally go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this worked. Why didn't I know that? But you know what? I think the Father can use anybody.
Sometimes I think we limit. And my, John, I didn't take offense to that. We're okay. But I find myself thinking, okay, in what ways do we limit God? For instance, I'm finishing out my closet. My father taught me some of those skills, but I don't have the experience of construction work. But yet, I'm laying there one night wrestling with what am I going to do with the ceiling. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I have the answer. Because I just believe if you need wisdom on something, God will be, He is with us all the time. And He gives us wisdom. If we seek Him for it. Now, I could have gone on the internet and, you know, looked at a bunch of YouTubes, but I didn't do that.
Didn't have to on this one. You know, I'm surprised, you know, on your story, that Elise just didn't reach behind her back and say, here's a teddy bear or whatever. She's just got so many things at her resources.
And this is before we lived together, you know, so but I remember talking to her about it, and it really did work.
Okay, that was really good. Is there any other comments or questions about what we talked about? Discipleship versus teaching, sharing versus giving.
Adult education. education is not giving them all the information, but it is defined in one word, facilitation. Point them to the resources, how to use those resources, and then let them go and let them tackle those resources. And that's another way of saying mentor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another kind of facet of mentor. Is in some situations we may find ourselves teaching a person how to build a wall. Well, here are the resources and what you need instead of you standing right there and teaching them how to do it. The human brain is amazing. It can eventually figure something out with God's wisdom. And so facilitate. I was struggling with this last class on the engaging the living word, because I've reached the point where I've had to talk about how to do in-depth Bible study. And the father kept taking me back to the University of Georgia. Why don't you structure that last class to facilitate their the students' search of the word on their own? So now I've changed the whole thing to where it's now going to be structured. This is the information, these are the resources. And if you want individual mentoring on how to use these resources or what to look for, which ones are the best, then we can do a one-on-one. And my class will probably eventually, for those who are willing to take the risk, turn into a mentoring, one-on-one mentoring situation, because I've already got the library set up. But that's my skill set, what I can do and what I can offer the body.
There's one facet about this that I haven't touched on yet. A good mentor needs to show disciples what is possible. In other words, if a baby only sees people crawling, will that baby ever know about walking? Most likely not, because he doesn't see anybody. This happens in sports all the time. There's always a record that people, and announcers especially, will say it'll never be broken. And it lasts for years, and then somebody breaks it. And then guess what? The next year, and the year after that, it keeps getting broke. When people see when something is possible, it empowers them in a way that no other inspiration can. When they see Elise hanging drywall, somebody else that's somebody years old, will say, you know what, if Elise can do this, you know what, I think I can do something similar. But if you see all these mature people put out to pasture, you don't know what your potential is. So a good mentor is going to help you realize your potential. Anything else? That's a good mentor is going to say that to anybody. So.
Don't ask, but I can help.
How many mentors did you have in that situation, though? Or were you learning on the fly?
What? How to be a parent?
A parent to this particular type of person.
Oh, never.
Yeah. Okay. We can continue this, but what I really want you to do is take this home this week and mull it over. And I want you to be able to say, you know what, if somebody came up to me and said, I need two people, then you would be willing and ready, or get willing and ready. And then also know, I want to get two people. Well, that is the thing. You probably, to be a mentor, goes back to what Sean said. You were initially under somebody else's authority. But unfortunately, there's people out here, they've got good experience, they've got good book reports, so to speak, but a lot of them never had a mentor themselves. So you're not, you're going to have to, we're not saying go and start looking for somebody, just be prepared. And just know that if you put yourself under the authority of Yeshua, you are not going to be one of these people that are out here. You are going to be brought in somewhere here automatically if you're going to be a follower of Yeshua. You cannot call yourself a follower of Yeshua if you say, yeah, I believe in Yeshua, but you're somewhere out here. Good question. Yeah, and just know that there's going to be testings of authority. You know they're doing something wrong. And you're like, I don't want to ask a wife, any of the wives. So, yeah, you can look at the fruit, but still, just you don't want to jump ship too soon. That's what I'm saying. Because your perseverance might be being tested then, right there. We don't know. But again, if you know your mentor is telling you something, you know, that you're not in full agreement with, all the more take it to the chief. Okay? Because that's always going to happen. Always. I don't care how good the mentor is, something's going to come along. There was this one when I was in school, when I was out of school, then I was taking care of some interns. And I knew this one instructor. And I would hear this moaning and complaining all the time about this instructor. And there's always these questions on tests that it's like, I thought this answer was better, but this answer was what they say is right. And then you start kind of fussing about it and trying to support why you thought this question was the right answer instead of something else. Or it was a practical that she messed up on, or you thought she messed up on. And I would tell them, the test is not the test. The test is Gene, the instructor. I would say, you're failing the test because here you're looking at the wrong, your focus is in the wrong area. So the test is Gene, not the test. And it helped some people. So, okay. Thank you.